In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. So the reading of the fourth Sunday of the Blessed Month of Bauna, as we just heard, is the famous passage, and that we all stand before it, and we glorify God for this sublime teaching about loving enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And even though we acknowledge the supremacy of the teaching, but sometimes we struggle about the concept. It's easy, of course, to talk about it. It is difficult to apply. So today I'm going to talk with you in a few minutes about what St. Paul asked the people of Corinth, asking all of us when we are facing some kind of injury from others, why do you not rather accept wrong? The question looks simple, but we want to think about it deeper. So today you talk about 4 points. Number one is the divine wisdom that we hear it over and over in the scripture. The second will be about, is it doable? Is it something that can be done, can be applied, or is it something for sermons? The third point will be about, why follow? Why should I do something like this? And the fourth and last point is the path to transformation. So the divine wisdom repeated in the scripture throughout the books of the Old and New Testament, that is to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Even the Old Testament, when the command was about an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but still there was an instruction about if you see the donkey of your enemy is fallen, you help it. So still, God wants to give this kind of glimpse. This is my intention for you to know, to live in a peace with everyone, love your enemies, to pray for those who spitefully use you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. These are all, again, divine wisdom, heavenly. It is totally opposite to what the world teaches. You will never see anyone who is worldly, carnal, say something like this or even try to apply. Repay no evil, no one evil for evil. Live peaceably with all men, beloved. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. To the First Corinthians, St. Paul say, why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? Imagine this kind of advice. Someone comes and say, Abuna, somebody cheated me on something, or he wronged me. And Abuna says back, why not rather to accept wrong? How many of us would perceive this as wisdom? Or that Abuna speaking what is right, even though we come asking for forgiveness, but when it comes to insult and injury, what we are seeking always is revenge and justice. This is what we call for. Also, in the book of Sirach, this Old Testament, we hear this, whoever wishes for vengeance will find vengeance from the Lord, and he will surely be attentive to his sins. God will pay attention whenever I seek vengeance. So the second point is it doable? Are these teaching something that's practical, can be done? Or this is just something only, as I said, just we talk about it in sermons. We have many examples also from Old and New Testament and from the church history that says that these teachings are life-giving and they applied, people lived it. We find in the Old Testament, Abraham, when he had his shepherd, had a conflict with the shepherd of Lot, over the land. We find Abraham allowing Lot to pick the better portion. It was unfair. Lot took the land where it is watered by a river, and he left the desert of Canaan to Abraham. And Abraham said nothing, just accepted it. It was definitely wrong, but he accepted it. We find also Joseph treating his brothers gently after what they did to him. Nothing, no word of rebuke even. And when they were afraid, he comforted them. Don't worry, God brought me in Egypt for a good reason. He forgot it, and he treated them very kindly. David letting Shimei, the son of Gera, curse him. This man who came when David was running away from Absalom, his son, and he started cursing David, reviling at him. And David let him. And he said, even God told him, curse David. And he accepted it. Also, the father in the parable of the prodigal son giving the money to the prodigal son and receiving him back with open arms after he wasted his living. It's an example also of allowing himself to be wronged without like making the person to suffer. Just give him the money, and when he came back losing everything, he received him with open arms. Again, all of these meanings, we are aware of them. And we claim, because we are Christians, that we believe in Christ and his teaching. But when these kind of examples are before us, we disregard. We feel even disregarded when people tell us, forgive, let go. You don't have to avenge someone. Just live with it. San Marina, the monk, this is from the church history. She, in order for her to be able to go to monasticism, at that time there was no place for women to become nuns, so she shaved her hair and lived as a man. Went to the monastery as if she is a man, and she was consecrated as a monk called Marine. And in a certain situation, she was accused that she made a woman pregnant. The woman didn't know, of course, that she is a woman like her. And then the father of the woman who gave birth brought the child to the monastery, and he started, of course, being so upset and angry. This monk did this and this and this. What did Saint Marina do? She could have said, I'm a woman. There is no way. She didn't say anything. She accepted this accusation, lived with it to the rest of her life. She even raised the child as her own, while treated in a way that's, of course, despicable from the other monks in the monastery. She accepted this, and we read the story, and we praise her. We celebrate her commemoration. Imagine what happened to her and how she accepted this. Saint Paul to the Corinthians and said, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved, but be that as it may. As the more I love you, the less I am loved, I still am okay with it. The Copts in Egypt, the picture you see on the screen, people praying in a burned church and praying for God's mercy and no sense of hatred towards others, more if they feel anything, sadness maybe, sense of pity toward those people who are trying to harm them. Those people are our brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers. Look at them. And when someone hurt my feeling, then the world should come to an end. Everything now should stop until I am paid back and I take revenge of the person who did this to me. Why cannot we imitate those heroes, our fathers and brethren in Egypt? The Lord Christ, of course, being the ultimate example of those who forgive on the cross, asking for forgiveness for those who crucified him. So is it doable? It is. These are all examples from the Bible, from history, something we even can see ourselves. We can see this in our country. The Copts never tried to revolt, never tried to take the rights by civil disobedience, none ever throughout history. We are always good citizens, even with whatever is befalling upon us. Why follow? Why should I do this? These are not only the reasons, but I'll mention some of them. One of them is the evidence of sonship to the Most High. We speak about God is my Father, God is my Father, and we call him, when we call upon him, our Father who art in heaven. Do we act like our Father? Are we really interested even in imitating his example? Or once we are hurt, that's it. No talking about forgiving, let go. No. This is not applicable. It is the evidence again that I belong to Christ and he is my Father. It is the way also for earthly blessings and heavenly reward. God will reward, God will bless those people who forgive, let go. And we know this definitely from multiple examples from the scripture and from the church history. It is also the only possible way to win the enemy. In conflict, when people are having this earthly wisdom, it is who will win over the other person. But with people of God who have heavenly wisdom, they think, how can I win the enemy? How can I gain this person? Not how to win over him. The fourth reason why I follow is to avoid the negative consequences of holding a grudge. When I hold the grudge, I allow the hurt to continue in me. I pierce myself day in and day out. This person hurted me in a day or a month or a year, but when I hold the grudge, I hurt myself for the rest of my life. Many, many consequences, all of them are negative when we hold on the hurt, injury. Being consumed with anger, obsession, and loss of focus. It's very common that whenever I am so much mindful of the hurt, all what I am thinking about is what happened to me, morning and day. I go to sleep thinking of this, I woke up in the morning thinking of the same. When I'm eating, when I'm playing, when I'm studying, it's all about this obsession about the hurt. And then what? Then where do you go with this? No place. Another negative consequence is hatred and thoughts of revenge. It's hard to say that I hate someone, but certainly this is the case. Whenever I hold grudge, I will eventually hate. And whenever I hate a person, it's very hard for me really to be able to connect with God who is love. It's not going to happen. I can deceive myself, of course. I can say just a sense of discomfort. But in reality, it is hatred in full picture. Another consequence is self-pity and the victim mentality that makes me to live crippled. All of the time, I am looking for people just to pity me. And I'm telling the story so people can tell me, oh, we are so sorry for what happened to you. And then what? Nothing. Just being a victim. Another consequence is the inability to grow spiritually. I will be hindered from growing, maturing, becoming the person that Christ wants me to be. The last point is, what is the path to transformation? How my mind should change in order for me to be able to live this kind of like teachings, this kind of life? I will mention 5 points quickly. Number one is to learn to live with wounds or ongoing pain without necessarily finding an immediate solution. This is exactly what St. Paul said. Why not to accept wrong? As if he's saying, live with the wound. Live with this kind of ongoing pain. It's not a big deal. مش شغلانة, مش حكاية. الدنيا مش هتخلص because someone hurt you. Nobody killed someone for you like our fathers and brethren in Egypt. Can we live with it? But the idea about I cannot live with inconvenience. Something is hurting and then I will not be able to rest until this is solved. When I have this mind, I will never find rest. The second mindset that should also we acquire is recognizing that my emotions and the course of my life are shaped by my choices, not by the actions of others toward me. When I act in a way that's not Christian, it is me. When I always feel this kind of hatred, it is my feelings, it's my emotions, I am responsible for them. You cannot say, he caused me this, because I still can choose to act differently. It is my reaction. When I call them this way, then I am in charge. Then the way to correct is to work on myself. I always say this example over and over and over. Imagine someone, he eats strawberry, and then he gets urticaria, he has allergy. The solution is to think, I am ill, I have a problem, I need to take medications. Not to launch a campaign against planting strawberry. Strawberry is a wrong fruit. It's not about others. Others can show our weakness. Yes, they can hurt us, but at the end of the day, how I react, it is me. It is my emotions. The third point is trusting in the heavenly wisdom that is pure and peaceable. When Christ spoke about forgiving, this is the truth. When he said, this is the way, then it is the truth. Trusting heavenly wisdom that sometimes we despise. We disagree with it. We always have justification why I should not follow it. we have to discern always and recognize that earthly wisdom, though attractive, can ultimately be demonic. This always pursuit of revenge. See, it's justice. Okay, do you want to receive justice yourself for your mistakes before God? The fourth mindset is embracing the motto of Saint Paul. What did he say? None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Don't please tell me when I say something like this, I'm not Saint Paul. We are called to imitate the example. And when we fail, we acknowledge we are failing because of our weakness. But don't dismiss it and say, this is Saint Paul. I have nothing to do with this. Then why? Why we read the Bible then? Why we look at these examples from the beginning? If I am not willing to take this as mine and struggle to live by them. He said this to teach us. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. None of these things move me, nor I do count my life dear to myself. I believe if we have this before our eyes all the time, no matter what people can do to us, we are not going to react in a negative way. The last point is finding comfort and peace by laying my heart and suffering before God and looking to Him alone as the source of consolation and peace. I will take my problem not to someone to solve it to me, not to someone to execute justice on my behalf. I will take my problem and my prayer room and I will talk with God who listens and sees, and He is the one who is going to reward everyone according to his deeds. This is where I find comfort, in my prayer room. This is where I struggle to find peace, not anywhere else. So again, the teaching that we heard today, we are all familiar with. Love your enemies. But how we can live this, I hope this will be something that at least we acknowledge that we need to embrace and live by. And our struggle will be always with ourselves. Whenever we are hurt, how to get over the hurt, how to apply these teachings in order for us to truly belong to the one who redeemed us. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.